Pittsburgh, I love ya. This is Brian Edward, and you're listening to Berg Vivant, Pittsburgh's cultural talk magazine, delivered digitally, straight up, shaken, and stirred. Tonight's broadcast brought to you by our spectacular sponsors and strategic partners, Zafalo's Banquet and Event Center, Carnegie, Pennsylvania, one of the most beautiful and unique venues in the greater Pittsburgh area for weddings, corporate dinners, fundraisers, and more. Visit clubzafalo.com. Off the Wall Theater, enlivening, educating, and entertaining audiences in the Pittsburgh region. View their current season at insideoffthewall.com. Arcade Comedy Theater, hosting local and national comedians, sketch comedy, improv, and more. 811 Liberty Avenue, downtown. Be sure to like them on Facebook or find them at arcadecomedytheater.com. Berg Vivant is a proud supporter of Firefly Arts, creating opportunities and support for families living with autism through innovative arts programming. You can learn more and show your support at fireflyarts.org. Mr. Henry Attaway.
Mr. Brian Edward.
Co-founder and director of development for Brass Roots, or The Brass Roots.
The Brass Roots. The article is very important there. We paid a lot of money for that, the.
Yeah, they have, vowels and consonants don't come cheap these days. But this is a brass ensemble.
Brass
that is new here to Pittsburgh. So what's the story?
Well, the story was we the founders, there are four of us, Jonathan Speak, tuba, David Gardner, trumpet, Chris Perlberg, tuba, and myself, euphonium.
That's a lot of brass.
I know, it's a lot of brass. We were all getting ready to graduate from Carnegie Mellon University as second year master's students in the music program. And with graduation looming, we all began to panic. What are we going to do when we're done here? And so we sort of got the idea to pool our talents together and build something.
And that's the Brass Roots.
And that's the Brass Roots.
The name is clever. I like it.
Yeah, it was a long conversation, you know, right after you decide, hey, let's make a brass ensemble. Cool, what are we going to call it?
So you found that title off a Pantene hair coloring bottle.
It was an entrepreneurship exercise.
Gotta cover my brass roots.
Let's
here.
Let's just start, you know, taking Scrabble tiles until we figure it out.
Well, nice job. Nice job. So what typically happens within a brass ensemble like this?
Well, within a brass ensemble, and it's important to make the distinction because Pittsburgh is already home to the country's only professional brass band, the River City Brass. Who has a very British inspired sound. Mm-hmm. While that probably doesn't mean much to the lay, from a musical standpoint, it's a very warm sound, a very dark sound, whereas a brass ensemble is more symphonic in nature, much brighter, orchestrally based. And so there's a considerable amount of power behind the music that we play.
Which is different from what would be considered British.
Exactly. You know, most brass band performances are a little bit lighter in nature, whereas in a brass ensemble with our unique sound, we can tackle more serious repertoire of a higher artistic nature.
Brass has always kind of struck me as fun. I mean, when I hear brass ensemble, my mind kind of goes to like Dixieland and Christmas. Well, no, and there's nothing better than a brass ensemble at Christmas, you know, and then a little tear comes down your eye, you know, it's beautiful.
Exactly, and you know, that's one of the reasons why we were so excited to put a group like this together, because, you know, like you said, it's a very versatile kind of instrument. You know, it's associated with everything from Dixieland to holiday to pops to, you know, again, that serious artistic rep. So because of all of that, we're able to present ourselves in a variety of ways.
So what do you feel really then is your identity as far as what we can expect if we happen to see you guys out and about?
The thing that you can expect when we're out and about, regardless of what style of music we're playing, is music of the highest quality. The individuals that we were able to recruit for this ensemble are just of the absolute highest caliber. Just about everyone in our trumpet section, for example, has performed on stage with the Pittsburgh Symphony Orchestra or the Pittsburgh Opera. Our members have been featured with ensembles such as the Denver Brass, River City, the list goes on and on and on. So the audience can always expect to hear just the absolute highest quality music wherever they come, with our true signature being the sound and the power behind it.
So is it difficult to put a
team like that together? It's kind of like the A team of brass is what it sounds like.
Absolutely.
To me. Do you find them? Do they come to you?
Well, you know, we were very lucky during our graduate programs here in Pittsburgh. We had teachers who encouraged us to branch out beyond the traditional realm of music making, which is to lock yourself in a practice room and just, you know, shed those excerpts so that you might one day win an audition. Our conductor, for example, Lance LaDuke, was my teacher during my time at Carnegie Mellon, and was always, you know, go out into the community, find new outlets for your music making. And through all of that, we began to form friendships and partnerships with other musicians. And when it came time to start the Brass Roots, the wish list for, like, who would we get to fill the roster of this ensemble, you know, was very short. Because we had already found the people that we would want, and we were just so touched and honored when they said yes.
Now, what do you play exactly?
Now, I play the very rare and often misunderstood euphonium.
That's a type of pachyderm, isn't it?
Yes. No.
That is a musical instrument?
It is a musical instrument. Probably,
is it something you speak into?
I think Edison
invented this, right?
You can. You know, there was this one time I was at a bar, and I was there with two drummers, and the bartender comes up and says, "What do you guys do?" And we're like, "Oh, well, we're musicians," thinking, "Oh, well, that's the cool right answer." And of course, that was followed up with, "Oh, well, what do you play?" And the drummers, being all suave and cool, said, "Oh, you know, I play drums." And then the bartender looks to me and says, "And what do you play?" And I was just like, "The euphonium." And I kid you not, the bartender says to me, "Did you make it?" And I'm
this
sitting
sounds
there,
like a joke.
Yes, I know. And I'm sitting there recently having graduated with a degree in this instrument thinking, what have I done?
Yeah, it's kind of like being in prison and they're like, "What are you in for?" "I knifed a guy." "What are you in for?" "Mail fraud." You know?
Exactly. That's exactly what it felt like.
But it's, come on. I mean, there's got to be a cool factor to it. I mean, well, okay, let's start with the basics. Okay, what the hell is it?
All right, so the euphonium is, in fact, a tuba. It's a member of the tuba family. But whereas a tuba, you know, as we all commonly know it, is a bass instrument, this is a tenor instrument. So okay. I like to refer to it as the smaller, prettier sounding tuba.
Oh, well, see, there you go.
Yeah,
already
you
you're
go.
Climbing up the ladder,
yeah.
See?
And the cool factor of this instrument is that most often when it is heard, it's used in a solo capacity. When it's included in the orchestra, it's very often playing solos. You go to concert band performances, you'll very often see euphoniums being featured with the band in some capacity.
So is there an ego that goes along with the euphonium?
I'd have to say at the beginning of my career, I thought that there would be, but as time went on, I just began to humbly accept the fact that I'm going to have to explain what this is.
Oh, those wild, everywhere. Rebellious
yeah.
days when you were on the road
yeah,
with that euphonium.
Yeah, now it's just, yeah.
Yeah, and you know, actually, many people have probably seen one and not realized it on hanging on the walls at TGI Fridays or Max and Irma's.
Yes, yes, I believe you know you could probably find it as restaurant wall art and
well,
throughout the
art.
Country.
It is art. So a member of the tuba family, kind of like, you know, if this is Goldilocks and the Three Bears, it'd be like Middle Bear.
This is Middle Bear. Yes, this is not quite just right, but getting close to be sure.
You know, I one thing I have found with brass musicians that I have met and that I have known, they've all got a pretty good sense of humor.
I'd like to think that we're well-humored. In fact, that was one of the things that that attracted me to Lance LaDuke as a teacher. He's wildly funny. I would encourage everyone listening to this to check out his YouTube channel where he has a whole variety of funny comedic songs. Featuring everything from, I believe, underwear his grandmother got him for Christmas to a pirate shanty about Father's Day.
I didn't see this interview going in this direction, but I like it. Let's talk more about grandparents' underwear. Yeah.
I have very little to comment on for that.
But there is something inherently humorous, I think, about tubas and things like that. Is it solely because it can imitate flatulence?
I'd have to say that plays a very large part into it. You know, I distinctly remember as a youngster buzzing on my mouthpiece and being tickled to death by the fact that it sort of sounded like flatulence.
Well, there's a concert concept there.
I think there might
be. Let me throw that out there to the brass roots. You know, we're just going to get up there and make funny sounds for an hour.
We'll file that one away.
Consider my ticket sold. I mean, really, I would go to see that. I mean, certainly not to diminish all of the excellent work that you will be putting out. Now, this troupe is relatively new. You had a grand opening performance yet?
Well, we're actually getting ready to embark on our inaugural concert season. It's going to take place here in this auditorium at Soldiers and Sailors. We sort of had our coming out party already, though, to the community last Memorial Day when we participated in the hall's festivities on that holiday. We concluded the event with a patriotic concert out on the square in front of the building.
Very nice.
Well, yeah.
Brass and patriotism also go together. What doesn't it go with?
It's a versatile group.
Mm-hmm. So how do you go about choosing the music or putting a concert together?
It's a very difficult task because, you know, we can play such a wide variety of music. Very often we have to come up with a theme in order to ground ourselves. Otherwise, it's far too easy to just be drawn in too many directions. So for this first concert, what we decided to do was put together a program that highlights some of the most exciting moments of the orchestral repertoire. And in doing so, we thought that we could really kick the season off with a bang. You're going to hear selections from Mahler's Second Symphony, Mussorgsky's Pictures at an Exhibition, and many, many more.
And all done with brass.
And all done
with
brass.
Now, were these written for all brass or adapted for brass?
The majority of them were adapted. We will be playing a few fanfare selections that were originally written for all brass instruments. But for the most part, these were arrangements that were done by sometimes composers, other times brass players themselves, who felt the need to showcase the talents of their instrument.
Very interesting. So what are your long-term goals for this organization? I think now is maybe a good time to ask you that since it's a little fresh and getting out there.
The long-term goals for this organization are to continue to grow and expand. We recently became the ensemble in residence here at Soldiers and Sailors.
Wow, that's actually pretty significant.
It's very significant. I mean, the hall that we're sitting in right now is take a look. I mean, it's amazing. It's one of the most acoustically sound venues here in Pittsburgh.
It is. You know, we sound great right now.
We sound fantastic.
We should cut a demo.
I think we should. You know, this space has been used, throughout the 20th century as a home for live music performances. The Pittsburgh Symphony has recorded many of their discs here in the early 20th century when the New York Philharmonic embarked on their first North American tour. Their conductor, Gustav Mahler, brought them to this space. This is where he chose to present his ensemble to the people of Western Pennsylvania.
Wow. Pretty fun. Now, as we covered before, your title with the organization is Development Director, or Director of Development. You're the money guy.
I'm the money guy. I'm sort of the catch-all position in that. I'm the face of our organization when it comes to creating partnerships such as the one here at Soldiers and Sailors.
So if I love brass and a euphonium playing Silent Night at Christmas time makes me misty-eyed, how can I support you?
How can you support us? Well, you can support us primarily by coming to our performances. There's nothing that musicians love more than to see a full house. And to that end, tell your friends. The more people that we can bring in, the merrier. And as we continue to grow and expand, there will be a variety of ways in which folks can support us. Some of our long-term goals are recording projects, which we're going to need support from members of the community if we want to do them well. But in the meantime, if you'd like to support our organization, just come and listen. Because there's no better way to help at this point.
Can you do a Christmas album? I really want a Christmas album.
I would love to do a Christmas album. As a matter of fact, this December, our full ensemble will be doing two Christmas performances. One here at Soldiers and Sailors, and a second at the East Liberty Presbyterian Cathedral over, in East Liberty. The organ director there, Dr. Ed Moore, is going to be featured with our group as we play a variety of secular and religious Christmas music in that amazing space.
Good. I'm glad to hear that. I've got something to look forward to. Now, will you stay focused mainly in Pittsburgh? Will the group travel?
There is an element of travel that we would like to incorporate into the group as we move forward. Thus far, we've been given invitations to do some runouts outside of Western Pennsylvania, which we're excited about as those deals come together. And long term, you know, we would very much like to turn this from a regional brand into a national one. Like I said, we've got some phenomenal talent that we would really love to share as much as we can here in this organization.
Well, to have founded this in Pittsburgh, I mean, clearly there was something that you and your colleagues saw about this city that said, hey, this city needs this, and this can survive and thrive here. What was it about Pittsburgh that really appealed to you in that sense?
Well, for starters, Pittsburgh is where the talent is. I mean, we're blessed. I remember seeing a figure that there are more arts organizations per capita here in Pittsburgh than anywhere else in the country.
I've also heard that about bars. Maybe there's a correlation.
I think you might be onto something there. Mm-hmm. That would explain the brass players.
Are you telling me, are brass players drinkers?
No. No. No, heavens no.
Now, say that again, but lie only half as much.
I promise we're not, Mom.
Are they beer guys? Are they cocktail guys?
I'd have to say on the whole, beer would be the drink of choice.
Yeah, I would have guessed that. You know, I mean, I hope this isn't making a, you know, generalization, but it just seems like, you know.
I think that comes from the German tradition.
Yeah, like the umpapa, umpapa. Is that a technical term, the umpapa?
As a matter of fact, yes.
But you know what I'm talking about when I say that, right?
It's an industry.
So will you play the Hof Brewhouse? then you know you've made it, right?
And, you know, I think if they were to extend us an invitation, it would be difficult to say no.
They could pay in beer.
Now there's a thought.
Mm-hmm. Anyway, we were talking about something legitimate here.
But why Pittsburgh?
Yeah.
You know, we are blessed in that we have one of the most forward-thinking orchestras in the world, and the way that they record and the way that they travel the world representing our city. And in doing so, they've attracted some of the most preeminent brass talent in the world to fill out their ensemble. And the city is blessed in that those musicians share their talents at universities such as Duquesne and Carnegie Mellon, and because of that, there's now a wealth of musicians molded in the image of that great brass section mm-hmm. with the Pittsburgh Symphony Orchestra. So when you ask why Pittsburgh, is because, well, this is where the talent was. These are the people that we wanted to embark on this journey with. And again, the audiences here in Pittsburgh, you know, are like no other. They turn out in droves to hear live music. Otherwise, you couldn't have all the organizations that we do, whether it's the new music ensemble, the symphony, the opera, the brass band. You know, you go to these performances and, you know, it's very seldom do you see empty houses.
Yeah, and I think that the Pittsburgh community really realizes that there are opportunities to see and enjoy a lot of music here, but never really think about the why. And, you know, I think what you've described there is actually very interesting. You know, credits the orchestra that is here, the talent that's here. And I have to imagine something like Brass Roots can only add to that.
I would like to think so. I really would. And we do consider ourselves homegrown. You know, many, many members of our ensemble are Pittsburgh born and bred, and those of us that have come here later in life have really just fallen in love with the city.
Your brass roots are grassroots.
Yeah, we're planting our roots here in Pittsburgh.
Nice. And it I have to imagine that it supplies a lot of opportunity for, you know, brass players when, you know, something else might be off season.
Absolutely, absolutely.
So are you pretty committed to your core? Are you seeking other individuals? Or
there are always avenues for collaboration mm-hmm. in music. There are pieces of repertoire that we would like to use that require more musicians than we currently have. And when it comes time to perform those, you know, enlisting other members of this, you know, amazing music community that we have here in the Steel City is just going to be an amazing experience.
So what are some of, like, the VH1 behind the music stories of the band?
behind the band. Well, we've got a lot of colorful personalities in the band.
Do those show through in performance?
I'd like to think so.
Is that a favorable quality?
I think it is. Trumpet players are, how can I put this politely?
Oh boy.
Oh goodness. I'm gonna need a drink.
Wow, not bad, huh?
Trumpet players can be a bit they're the jocks of any ensemble in which they inhabit. It took me that long to come up with that poorly of a diplomatic answer.
I mean, but is it okay to say that? I mean, are there trumpet players out there that might take offense to hearing that? Like, is there a Bill Gates trumpet player that's going, "Hey, now"?
Well, then that trumpet player just isn't very self-aware.
Oh my God!
But if you ask any trumpet player, they would tell you, "Well, that's the persona that you have to adopt if you're going to play this."
Okay, so this is okay, and you being in the music arena are allowed to say this. You own these terms.
So when you see a performance, you can see, you know, almost, and the way they physically present themselves, how they're taking charge of the moment. You can see the various instruments interact with each other in very interesting and telling ways about their personality. One of the most colorful people that we have in our ensemble is our trombone player, Mike Dorado, more affectionately known amongst us as El Dorado. He's a truly remarkable talent, and as a matter of fact, we'll be featuring him on the first concert as a concerto soloist. He'll be playing the Grand Ole trombone concerto with the ensemble. He's so well humored, and he really helps to keep the mood light in rehearsals and performances. I believe it was just last night at rehearsal, someone was remarking about how expressive his eyebrows were during various sections of a certain piece.
Oh, how very observant!
So yes, there is a lot of personality.
How
in the
often
group.
Do you need to rehearse?
Well, with any new group, it's important to spend time together as an ensemble. So
whether you like it or
whether
not.
whether you like it or not, so that you grow and homogenize the sound. It's very important. One of the things that makes the Pittsburgh Symphony so great is that brass section is so locked in with its sound, the concept of sound, and that's just something that comes with time. So currently, we're rehearsing one evening a week, and then in lead-ups to performances, perhaps a bit more.
Now, do you get out to see a lot of music in town?
Well, not anymore. Now that we're playing so gosh darn much, in addition to our full ensemble.
So it's a time thing.
It's a time thing. But in addition to our full ensemble, we fragment the group into various combinations, most often brass quintets, and they're engaged in a variety of capacities throughout the city. Very recently, we had a quintet performing at the Pittsburgh Renaissance Festival, of all places, various churches throughout the community as well. These sorts of things keep us busy, and you know, it's great to be playing, you know, so much, but you know, there are times that I wish that I got the opportunity to hear more music in town.
What do you appreciate from a music performance?
Creativity. You know, and thanks in large part to recording, you know, just about every major piece of music out there has been done and redone.
Well, right. How do
times.
You get creative with a piece that was written 600 years ago?
Exactly, and that has been recorded 50 times since then.
But really, I'm asking, how do you?
Oh well, it's challenging. It's difficult, and you know, using the symphony as an example, Maestro Honeck has partially staged some works, some concert works that ordinarily would have never been presented in such a way. The Pittsburgh New Music Ensemble and the finale of their season incorporated elements of staging. The Eclectic Laboratory Chamber Orchestra, another fantastic group here in town, often partners with dance companies and other arts interdisciplinary exercises to find new outlets.
Now, see, there's something to think about there, partnering with dance, because if there were any type of music that I think should accompany me dancing, it would be tuba music.
It would be tuba.
So let me just throw that out there. Keep that in mind. I can kind of do like a little... Right. Exactly. As long as one hand's free for, you know, a cocktail. But see, there we go. Again, humor.
Humor.
So you're really coming up soon is the big debut.
Coming up soon is the big date. October 19th here in this hall, 7 p.m. That's a Sunday evening.
Well, that's nice, though. I think that's a nice Sunday evening event.
It'll be great, and for those you know, looking to come out, they can really make a whole evening of it. There's a promotion that's running at the Porch at Schindley Park. Just mention the Brass Roots and receive 10% off.
Drop your name.
Yeah, just drop.
And get 10% off your bill at the Porch. That's pretty cool.
That is pretty cool.
How'd you swing that?
Very carefully.
Yeah. I need to start something like that for Berg Vivant. Just say Brian Edward and your oil change at Meineke is 5% off. Say, we gotta keep it real. So you've inspired me today. See, look at that.
Well thank you.
Nice tie.
Thanks. Yeah, the tie is actually part of our uniform.
Now look at that. You guys are so in line. You've got uniforms.
We've got uniforms.
This is pro.
Yep, I'd like to think so. Yeah, we went with a sort of glee club look. We wanted to remind people, you know, that we're young.
I'm not getting glee from that though.
Oh, well.
I'm getting more like morose private school.
Oh God, we might have to rethink this.
But you know, it's a brassy color. Okay,
it is a brassy color, and you know, I'll be completely honest. You know, black and gold. There was some pandering involved in that.
You're very wise. You're so wise. Oh well, yes.
And you know, and we're recording this on the day of the Pirates playoff game. So you know, I'm supporting the hometown team as well.
Well, hey, good. Well, Pittsburgh is glad to have you, and we here at Berg Vivant wish you all the success in the world. Play on, play on. I'm going to talk about our glasses.
Our glasses, okay.
I see, I can do this too.
All right.
I can't see a thing.
Yes, I don't need, no, I do need these.
Do you really?
I think it was last year, or yeah, maybe it was last year. It was the first time I'd gone to the optometrist.
Ever?
In 7 years. Oh. And he said, well, you need to get glasses.
Sir, you're legally blind.
Yeah, and I remember when I walked out of the shop with glasses
a stick
on. and I walked down and I remarked, there are leaves on the trees.
Oh, come on. Really, that bad?
Who knew?
How the hell were you able to read music if you were that bad?
There was a lot of leaning forward and... You know, I distinctly remember going to performances and stuff and looking down on stage and, you know, the faces were all blurry. I just assumed, well, no one could see those. We're very far away.
Wow.
So
a whole new world.
Exactly.
Yeah, I don't know how bad my vision is. I don't know. I'm not a contacts kind of person.
I can't. The idea of touching my eye is just deplorable.
I mean, I did do contacts for a while, but I got over it. But, yeah, I mean, you know, 7 o'clock in the morning, I got one eye shut, one eye open. I've had one sip of coffee. You want me to, like, basically do surgery on my face?
Exactly.
I don't think so.
No, that's just,
I'll throw on these glasses, you know, but these get quite a beating. I don't know. This is really turning into an ad for iTeek.
I want to do my promo spot for Ray-Ban available.
Oh, you look at you with Ray-Bans over here. Yeah, that's the life of a jet-setting euphonium player.
Yeah, you know, there was one serious thing that I think might be interesting. Again, it doesn't really highlight me or the Brassroots for that matter, but it could be a future story that you look into. This idea of Pittsburgh being a hotbed for music entrepreneurship. You know, back at the turn of the last century, you know, this was the original Silicon Valley. You know, you had Carnegie, you had Mellon, you had Heinz, like the original American startups. And today, you know, musicians are the ones who are really embodying that spirit. A gentleman by the name of David Cutler, used to be on faculty at Duquesne University, has since moved on to the University of South Carolina, wrote the book, I mean, literally the book, called The Savvy Musician. It's all about being an entrepreneurial musician in the 21st century. And many of the things that inspired him, you know, in that book, you know, were Pittsburgh grounded or, you know, were examples that he encountered during his time here in Pittsburgh. And, you know, while I would like to say we're the only group that, you know, is carrying that torch, you know, we're not. There are countless musicians throughout this city who are looking to build something for themselves because, you know, everyone knows that, you know, classical music has taken a black eye with the economy, and, you know, ticket sales for many organizations throughout the world are down. And that's really opened up this avenue of smaller art, you know, individuals building their own outlets for performance and artistic presentations. And Pittsburgh is just an amazing sandbox for that kind of activity, for all the reasons that we've mentioned earlier, you know, between our audiences and the wealth of talent located here. Carnegie Mellon, as a matter of fact, recently began a new music entrepreneurship program called Fast Track, for which our conductor, again, Lance LeDuc, is the associate director of that. He's advising a whole new generation of musicians how they can build something for themselves, carve out a piece of this industry, as opposed to go the traditional route, which is to, again, lock yourself in a practice room, practice your excerpts to compete against, you know, 100 of the most qualified individuals in the world in hopes that maybe you'll land it.
So it's tough. It's very competitive.
It's very, very tough. You know, I mean, speaking for myself, you know, I play an instrument no one's ever heard of.
I heard of it today.
you know, the only traditional outlet for my instrument is in the military, playing in military ensembles, for which on average there's one audition a year. And as of right now, we're in a drought. There hasn't been a major audition since 2012. So what are we to do? What are we to do? And, you know, being here in Pittsburgh, we were fortunate to have the exposure to individuals like Lance, Dr. Cutler, to begin embarking on this journey of building something. And that's, I think, really at the core of what Brassroots is all about.
Well said. Indeed. Now, can you repeat that word for word so that we can get it? It wasn't recording.
Word for word. Oh, are we all? Were we really not recording? Oh, God.
That was cruel to do to you. I'm sorry. But no, that was a nice.
That's really funny if you had like not been recording, because like the martinis, just every time we come back in, it's just further and further.
Well, clearly you're thirsty, and I'm glad we could help you out with that.
Yeah, it's 8 o'clock in the morning.
It is. In closing, we would like to once again thank our spectacular sponsors and strategic partners, Off the Wall Theater, Cefalo's Banquet and Events Center, Carnegie, Pennsylvania, Arcade Comedy Theater, Downtown, and Bergvavant is a proud supporter of Firefly Arts, creating opportunities and support for families living with autism through innovative arts programming. Find out more and show your support at fireflyarts.org. And be sure to follow Pittsburgh's Cultural Talk magazine online. You can find Bergvavant, the It in Pittsburgh, on Facebook, Twitter, or subscribe for free at www.bergvavant.com. This is Brian Edwards saying cheers and good night.